Well, I'm privileged to bring the Word of God to you today. I thank our pastor, Pastor Joe Toomey, for inviting me to come to the pulpit today and to worship with you. How special it is to be here and to remember together the good times we've had over past years and to look forward to good times that God has for each of us. You know, Christmas when I was a kid was filled with wonder. And I still am a kid in many ways. It was full of wonder, wondering how did all this happen? My folks would stay up 3/4 of the night because the Christmas tree was not put up until we went to bed. And then when we woke up in the morning, the surprise of that Christmas tree, oh, I can still feel it inside there. You know, there weren't a lot of gifts back then. We were poor. We didn't know it, but we were poor because everybody else around us was poor. But the Christmas tree, well, it was just amazing. And then hugs and kisses from my grandparents, my parents, and the gifts that were there, where did they come from? How did they get there? I mean, why do kids experience that sense of awe more fully, more deeply than some of us adults? Do you think that we adults try to explain too many things away? Do we try to rationalize it in our minds? That sense of marvel, that sense of amazement is all necessary part of what we call worship. And this morning, as we worship God, let us sense the awe of His presence, the wonder of how God, in His wisdom and His grace, came to earth, born poorly in a cattle stall, to give us eternal life. And do you think this sense of awe, this wow, is part of what Christ meant when we said that we all must become like little children if we're to experience the kingdom of God? How do you do that? How do you get from all of the fuss and muss that we do around Christmas time, especially, to be simply like a child and to experience His presence . True worship, says Warren Wiersbe. By the way, you're going to want to follow along in your note sheet. This is the first fill in the blank. So find it, pull it out. Warren Wiersbe says, true worship must always involve mystery. Mystery. He goes on to say, in our desire to explain everything and avoid whatever we can't explain, we've almost robbed worship of the dimension of mystery. We no longer cry out with Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 11, oh, the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The psalm writer says his ways are higher than our ways, higher than we can ever imagine. And on that first Christmas night, people experienced the awe, the wonder, the amazement when they'd heard that the Christ child had been born. We'll read about it in a little while in Luke chapter 2. But you can experience that amazement every day as you see God's hand at work. Now, some of you know that last Monday we moved from our apartment in Mars up to the parsonage here. Well, at this point, we can't find anything. I did find my clothes. But we pray, you know, like the men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning. Well, I pray with two other guys, and I share with my guys, I can't find the screws for my desk. I mean, the desk is sitting there in parts. But where the hardware to put it all together? So Jack Model and Ross prayed for that I'd be able to find the screws and the hardware. Anyway, after breakfast, I went down to work on my sermon, and I wanted a couple little post-it notes, and I went to a box where I knew the post-it notes were, and guess what? There they were. I mean, the amazement that God even knows about the screws. And he cares enough about me to show me. Just don't lose the amazement of what God is doing all around us. Isaiah the prophet experienced genuine worship in chapter 9 of Isaiah. He was brokenhearted as the people of Israel were. Assyria had come down from the north and had attacked the cities, had marched their young people off into slavery, had raped their women. It was a horrible, horrible time. And in the middle of it, God gave him a prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he goes on in that prophecy. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. The word wonderful is a Hebrew word, pilah, which means unusual, beyond human capability, marvelous, miraculous. The word itself gave to the Hebrew people a picture, a mental picture of being too high. When I read that, I thought of something that happened years ago. More than 20 years ago, when I was pastor of this church, a great church. And back then, at the end of the sermon, an invitation was always given for people to come and receive Christ, or to pray, as we do now in the service. Anyway, I was kneeling right here, praying with somebody, I don't remember who now. And remember back then, the pulpit was always here, big, massive thing, and right there was the communion table. And while I was praying, I peeked. I opened my eyes. I was praying with a guy. Anyway, and I see little Jimmy Duncan. Now, Jimmy's not little anymore. Now, before you get all upset, I've asked his permission to tell this story. Okay, and here Jimmy Duncan. Now, either the communion table was too high or Jimmy Duncan was too short. But here's Jimmy Duncan hanging by his fingers on the edge of the communion table. His feet don't touch the ground anymore. And he's looking at that nativity set. And his eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger as he pondered that scene before him. And he pictured the Christ child and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the wise men as they came to worship. And as Jimmy Duncan so long ago stretched himself to wander, to ponder at the birth of our Lord Jesus, I want you to stretch yourself this morning to ponder Jesus in the Christmas story. My purpose this morning is to help you to ponder, to stretch yourself a little bit more, to know the wonder at thoughts which are really too high for us to really, with our finite minds, to even begin to imagine. A sense of mystery, a wonderfulness. Which is necessary if worship is really to be genuine. You know, worship is more than just singing the songs and reading the Bible, all that stuff. It's something that happens in here. The Greek word for to worship, and those of you who were part of the church back then, I taught you this. It means to kiss toward. To say, Jesus, I love you. That's what it means. And I hope that you will experience what's talked about in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And you remember, and the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered. How could this be? And I want you today, and really not only today, but I want you every day of your life to wonder in God's presence with that sense of awe, that wow. And as you do so, think about six areas of God's working in your life and mine. The first, wonder about God's wisdom. That He placed you here this very morning. His name in Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Jesus is called our counselor, our wonderful counselor, instructing us, guiding us in the right direction, perhaps sometimes as a counselor will do, rebuking us. Jude 25, the scripture says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory. God's wisdom, you see, is so much more wonderful than human thought. His ways are always higher than our ways. And there are times when God says no, and we don't understand. Let's ponder the wisdom of God and worship Him. Worship God's wisdom with that sense of awe, that sense of wow. A.W. Tozer writes, wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all. And in this, able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision. And so wonder at God's wisdom, but also wonder with me at the omnis. Now you say, what's the omnis? His omnipresence. His omnipotence, His omniscience. What do those mean? Now, some of you know, but think about God's omnipresence. That God is with us this very moment, ministering powerfully in the hearts, your heart, my heart, through the preaching of His word. But at the same time, He's with our international workers, Tim and Sarah Harrison, who are expecting their second child any day now in the country of Jordan. A difficult country to live in. He's also with my son, Tim, and his wife, Misty, and Levi and Ethan. They're up in New York in my sister's church worshiping this morning. He's also with my granddaughter down in Atlanta, Georgia, who just celebrated her 18th birthday on Wednesday. He's also with our good friend Audra Fosbrink, who's at North Hills Passive and Hospital, pneumonia in both lungs. Pray for Audra. Let the thought of God's presence change you, sanctify you this Christmas season. A few years ago, I struggled with depression. Some of you are aware of this. During those wee hours of the morning when I couldn't sleep at all, the overwhelming truth from God's word of God's presence were such verses as Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or Matthew 28 and verse 20, where Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. Allow His presence, the thought of His presence, to fill you and overwhelm you and make you wonder at His grace. And then God's omnipotence. What's that word mean? It means He's all powerful, omnipotent. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. when the angel appeared to Mary, the virgin, and announced the birth of the Christ child. Mary couldn't understand. How could this happen? She's a virgin. She's never been married. And the angel said in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it's recorded, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." He's all powerful. Our scripture text in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "He's the mighty God." Think about it. Verse 7 calls him the Lord Almighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. And then think about God's omniscience. That he knows all about you. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows your loved ones. He knows all about it. At the same time, he knows about tomorrow and next week and next year. He tells us exactly what we need to know. And there's some things are just a mystery to us. But he knows. And he loves you. This can be a cause, says Tozer, of shaking fear to the man who has something to hide. Some forsaken sin. Ponder God's omniscience and let God wow you with the thoughts of his knowledge. Then wonder with me at God's nature. And I don't mean about the character of God. I mean nature all around us. Look at God's creation. The beautiful blue sky. The other night, Connie and I were driving home from Punxsutawney, my last of the district leadership team meetings was Wednesday, and they had a farewell dinner, retirement for me, and all that kind of celebration. It was just dandy. Anyway, but on the way home, coming past Saxonburg, did you see the sunset on Wednesday night? Oh my. Marvel at God's creation. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I don't understand how he did that. But the Hebrew word means, creates means to make out of nothing. To start with nothing and make. My wife bakes a cake. She starts with flour and sugar, Duncan Hines, and puts it in. God started with nothing and created all of this. Hebrews chapter 11, I think this is in your note sheet. "By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible." These beautiful flowers, God made them. Itty tiny baby, the active little two-year-old that's trying to look at the nativity set. Let's not miss his creation. Look at your own body. As Psalm number 139 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Wonder with me at God creating you and me so intricately, so marvelously, at this very time. And let your heart swell with praise to God. Don't lose the amazement of what God's doing in nature all around us. I love to go hunting. Now, I'm really excited when I shoot a nice buck. But it's not about killing animals. And some people don't get this. But to sit there in a tree and just think about God's creation. And those little snowflakes land on your sleeve. And you look how intricately wonderful. Don't lose that sense of awe this Christmas. In all of the busyness and all the parties. And I like the parties probably more than all the rest of you. But let's not forget the most important, which is worship. And then wonder with me at God's deeds. Deeds. See what God has done. Psalm number 40 in verse 5 says, were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to be declared. We must get beyond the explainable to the marvelous deeds of God. What God is doing all around us. Whether it's finding hardware to put my desk together, God knew where it was the whole time. It was me that didn't know. You get it? Look what God is doing. And I'm convinced we miss 99% of what God is trying to do all around us. We just get busy and don't pay attention to what God is doing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. According to his power that is work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. The unimaginable happened. God came to earth in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, named Jesus. And there on Calvary's cross, he was smitten of God and afflicted, the scripture says, to pay the penalty for my sin, the penalty your sin deserves. He died there, a horrible death. But on the third day, happy Easter, the Lord is risen. Yeah. Miracles. Let's not forget the miracles and marvel at them. Marvel at his love and let God amaze you as he shows you his marvelous deeds. And then wonder with me at God's eternity. Our text, Isaiah 9:6. His name is the Everlasting Father. God is eternal everlasting. And although Jesus was birthed by Mary in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, he is and he was and he will be eternal. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is eternity like? Hendrik Willem van Loon tries to illustrate eternity. And he writes, high in the north, in the land called Svidjup, stands a rock 100 miles high and 100 miles wide. And once every 1,000 years, a little bird comes to sharpen his bill on that rock and knocks off a grain of sand. And when that huge rock is finally gone, it will be less than one day in eternity. Think about eternity. Ponder it. And that Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. Eternity. Our human minds can't imagine eternity. But because God is eternal and because he loves you and me so infinitely much greater than we can ever imagine, as you think about eternity, do you know for certain that if you would die today, you'd go to heaven? Do you? No, don't lie to yourself. If you do not, if you don't have that, what we call the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, you can know. And God wants you to know that peace of eternal life. Because God wants you to spend all of eternity with him. That's why he created you, to have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. This brings me to the last thought. Think what R stands for? There it is. Redemption. God wants you to have eternal life so much that he put human flesh, he put on human flesh, came to earth so that he might live and die and be raised from the dead so that he might give you eternal life. He died an awful death on Calvary's cross, paying the penalty that your sins deserve, that my sins deserve. And he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And as you ponder God's wonderful plan of salvation, worship him, wonder why he should love a sinner such as I. The highest passion for worship comes not from examining creation. Instead, the highest form of worship develops as we marvel at God's saving grace, reaching down to you and me while we were in sin. And that Jesus would love us so much to die for us, to redeem us, to buy us back in his grace. And experiencing that sense of wonder, that sense of worship, of awe in God's presence. It's difficult at times. We begin so become so busy and hurry. Or we harbor sins in our life. Or angers. Or fears that just drain that sense of wonder from us. And we focus on less important things instead of on God. So Wesley's hymn, "Mild He Lays His Glory By." Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. As you sing it today, may your heart be filled with that sense of wonder, that sense of awe, that wow that we call worship. Don't you just love it when you give a gift to somebody that's really special in your life and they open the gift, they go, wow. Isn't that nice? There's a gift that I bought for Connie and she doesn't know what it is yet. But it was 49 years ago. In Williamsport, Pennsylvania, I pulled a little box out of my pocket and I wowed Connie. The amazing thing, she said yes. God offers you even a greater gift, eternal life through the person of Jesus. Our text begins, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It's not something that you could ever earn or deserve. It's God's gift to you, to wow you for all eternity. Christmas is about giving, because God gave his son. And God's gift for you has your name on it. Whoever. Like any gift, a person must receive the gift. And then you open it. And then you incorporate into your life. You put it on or you put it to use. You don't just let it sit under the Christmas tree. And as you experience God's gift this Christmas, wonder. Let God wow you. And worship him today. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you have never before asked Jesus into your heart to receive his gift of Jesus, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Oh God, I need you and I want you. I believe that you died for me and rose from the dead. I receive your gift of eternal life. Oh God, we thank you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.